It's 2:44 Central Time here on the Afternoon Magazine. I'm Jim Meadows, filling in for Celeste Quinn, 57 degrees outside. And our next guest inspired me to connect back to what my reading habits used to be before I learned to read, when picture books were the main literary form I was looking through, and remembering back to what I actually got at the age of, say, four or so, and looking at our guest's newest book, I'm feeling like I was a little bit deprived. Graham Bass is an Australian author and illustrator, the author of several books, including Animalia, The Sign of the Seahorse, and his latest book, The Waterhole. It's a book, Mr. Bass, I think I have you on the phone now from Canada.
Yes, g'day, Jim.
Okay. Canada, but you're not from Canada.
Oh, no. Here for a matter of hours and then dipping back down the east coast of the States.
So a lot of traveling. And this is a book with, I guess, at its heart, a pretty simple premise. Could you talk a little about it?
Certainly, yeah. It was inspired by a trip I made to Africa some years ago, just going through those dry plains, and you come to a waterhole, and that's where the life is. And I think we all know from seeing nature documentaries on TV how, you know, as waterholes shrink, more and more animals are competing for the water. But eventually the clouds come, the rain falls, and the waterhole is replenished. So it's a story of the cycle of the seasons. Turning that into a number book was, pretty sort of simple when you think about the nature of those animals gathering there. So that was the essential story for waterhole.
Now, a number book is a pretty simple premise that a lot of writers and illustrators have used.
Yeah.
But I was interested in thinking about how kids essentially use picture books as to how many different levels you essentially added on to this book.
Sure. Well, the thing is, it's a bit of a nicety, but I do like to talk about picture books rather than children's books or kids' books, because a picture book is non-age specific. I honestly have no preconception of the sort of the age groups that I write for or that I draw for or that I conceptualize for. The work is done very, very much across a sort of a very broad range to appeal to myself, the kid in me, the adult in me, the lover of wildlife, the concerned parent, all those things that have come to bear on a story. So if it has levels, that's why. And although the book is at first read a 1 to 10, one rhino drinking at the waterhole, two tigers, up to 10 kangaroos as the waterhole gets smaller and smaller, with a big celebratory page at the end where all of the animals 1 to 10 are all there to be found. It's a magical waterhole. It doesn't just it starts in Africa, but I pick it up and I can take it from Africa to India where the tigers are, and then on to South America for three toucans and so forth. So clearly the waterhole then is a metaphor for water as a global resource, and the image of all the animals at the end all drinking, they're all from different parts of the world and it is one waterhole, it's very, very clear to see. But that's a level of a layering of the book that developed later and which is designed to be found later.
Mm-hmm. And some of the other levels I think simply work as to how people will look at a picture book, and perhaps how they'll look at it the second and third time. And that's what struck me with The Waterhole and some of the other books is that there's a lot to look at. And remembering when I was first looking at pictures and books as a kid, that's what meant something to me. If there was a lot of stuff to look at and sort of uncover and maybe rediscover the next time, that really increased the value.
Me too. Those are the books that I loved as a kid. I remember poring over illustrations. I guess I was always taken by illustrations and artwork. I think most kids are, in the same way as most kids move to music. It's just innate to enjoy that sort of thing, I believe. So, in Animalia, for instance, to put it in context, that was a book which is nominally an alphabet book, except a fairly complex one. There's lots and lots of things beginning with each letter for the alphabet on each page. sort of set up by an alliteration for the main subject, and then going deeper and deeper. The more you want to look, the more you'll find. With Waterhole, the concept right from the outset was to introduce those layers into the natural world. So whilst you have the one rhino drinking at the waterhole, you know, snort, splosh, delicious as he drinks, there are other animals there subliminally hiding, from, and they're all African animals. Then on the next page, because we're tigers, they're Indian and so forth, right through, as I say, to the kangaroos, where you know, 10 Australian animals sort of lie hidden. I've actually done a checklist, though. It seemed only fair, having because some of them are fairly tough to find, and it helps to know what you're trying to find. So along the top of each page, there's a thin strip, and along the bottom as well, like a black silhouette strip with animals, and those are, and with their names too. There's another layer you can find out that it's not just some deer. It's an impala, or it's actually not an alligator. It's a gharial, an Indian, you know, crocodilian. So you can sort of check off the things which you found and the things which you can't find. At least you know what it is you're looking for.
At the same time, throughout each of these pictures, it's almost something like a Greek chorus for some reason. It seems to me
are
the little frogs, the little frogs with items of clothing, not quite as intensely naturalistic as the other animals.
They're my sort of people, really, in this. You know, I don't tend to draw people. I enjoy the metaphor of using animals to show up human foibles rather than people themselves. And on the first page, when that rhino is drinking away, there's 10 frogs, and they're quite relaxed and happy for the most part. One's there with a Hawaiian shirt drinking a pina colada or whatever it is, and another one's sitting back sunbathing. Life is good. And isn't that sort of, you know, human nature? When everything's fine, you sit back and you don't miss it until it's gone. Sure enough, on the next page, there's only 9, 8, all the way down through to one little sad-looking frog leaving as the water evaporates totally. I've got to hasten to add at this point, it's not the end of the tale, because I would never leave a story there. I'm inherently optimistic. The cycles do turn in the world in all ways, physical, political, everything. And the waterhole, sure enough, is replenished. And the very last game to play with the book, if you like, is on the very last page. You've got all of the main animals, the rhino right through, all there to be found. And, of course, the hidden animals now are the frogs.
Now you also used the production detail of the die-cut holes, essentially, as you go through the pages and the waterhole is drying up. There's a die-cut hole in each page leading essentially to the next picture of the water hole, and it's gradually shrinking. Why did you decide to use that technique?
It was right from the outset. I thought it was a wonderful chance to add a real kinetic or graphic sense of that water hole disappearing. So each of those ovals, centered right on the water hole, reduces in size. So you've got this effect of being able to see right through the whole book a sense of the graphic of the water hole as it disappears. It was a very early part of the concept, Jim. I really wanted to do that. And actually, I've been asked before, you know, how on earth do you convince a publisher to do that? And the answer is, of course, that you make your previous book so technically challenging and difficult and expensive that when you, which I did by, with, was a book called the Worst Band in the Universe, and it had a song sheet and a CD and a fold-out cover and all this extra stuff, so that when you go to ring the publisher and say, and you want to do this technical thing of an oval, you can say, good news. All I want to do in this book is just have this oval cut out of it. And they go, oh, thank goodness he doesn't want a CD again. So I got away with it. But it's a part of the book that I really enjoy myself. Just I've never done a book with a cutout before in it, but it just has that lovely graphic focus of the waterhole.
The technical aspects I'm working, but I'm wondering about just is how you produce your artwork. Do you have a medium you prefer?
The artwork is essentially watercolor. It doesn't sort of look like watercolor. It's not done in the traditional sort of watercolorist sense. But then I wasn't trained to, you know, in watercolor painting. It was just a technique which I've sort of grown sort of more accomplished with or more comfortable with, at least, over the years. Introduced transparent inks into the mix because they have more vibrant colors. There's a lot of pen work, pencil work. I use an airbrush. I use a scalpel for scratching away to get fur effects. I've begun to use an acrylic. I am anything but a purist. Whatever does the job, that's what I'll use.
How long does it take you to produce a book like this?
3 years.
3 years?
Three, yeah. But you know, I think there's a little bit of sort of fat built in there, which is in some ways a luxury. I mean, I guess if I was really hard put to it, I could produce a book in 2 years. The extra year, Jim, though, is to do with thinking about those levels deeper rather than just jumping in and saying, okay, it's a book about the waterhole, so I'll do this, 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 and this. I'll miss tricks. For instance, that frieze along the top and the bottom was only at just before I began doing the final artwork of the book. I suddenly went, wait a sec, I could do this. It'll set up the pictures. It'll be an extra layer of interest and of the art itself. And I think that if I do books more quickly, those little details get left out. You don't have time to let the project bubble away and get, you know, properly ripe.
You must be where there's, it's, I think, a contrast here that between the immense concentration you must spend on producing a book over a period of time like this and the relatively brief, even with repeat readers and kids who may, you know, grow up with one of these books, they're not going to spend the sort of time with these illustrations that you did.
Oh, no, but I mean, isn't that the nature? Think about making movies. People go and see a movie, it lasts, you know, 45 minutes or something, and bang, that's gone. And I'm trying to make a movie at the moment of Sign of the Seahorse. I mean, we've been working on that in development for 10 years. It's madness. And yet, you know, there's no sense in worrying about that sort of equation. I've got to say, though, the opposite is true. In the case of a book like Animalia, that took me 3 years. It came out in 1986 in Australia, 1987 here. Even now, it's still in print. It's still being enjoyed. And that's 15 years on. So I reckon it's a pretty good ratio.
You said a few minutes ago that you think of picture books as something you do, I guess, for your own standards. Mm. But what sort of feedback do you get that makes you that lets you know you're doing something right?
Well, I'll tell you the things that I'm not. I'm not a teacher. I'm an educationalist. I can't ever imagine myself having the patience or just that I don't know, that sort of zen-like quality to be able to impart knowledge. And yet I know that Animalia is used as a springboard for lots of areas of you know, education for children of a lot of ages, frankly. I'm not an environmental spokesman, although I'm, you know, I'm a member of various organizations. What I can do is do a book that might have something subtly or sometimes less subtle to say about those issues. And I think that's my role. First and foremost, as an artist, to represent the world as I see it or imagine it in some cases, because some of these worlds are sort of fairly far-flung, fairly far-fetched. As an artist, I crave an audience. I think every artist craves an audience at some level. Sometimes you want to challenge or offend, or in my case, I want them to enjoy. If I gain that audience, and I have been able to with the work which I do naturally, that's a real gift, and I'm very, very satisfied with my role in that process.
Well, The Waterhole is the newest book from author and illustrator Graham Bass. It's published by Abrams Books for Young Readers, and Graham Bass is also the author and illustrator of Animalia, The Sign of the Seahorse, with a movie in the works, in development, I guess would be the
best phrase.
Yeah, it's
a long way. The D word.
The discovery.
I just want to get to the P word, production word.
The Discovery of Dragons, and your last book before this was The Worst Band in the Universe. I understand you used to play in a band at one point.
I surely did. There's a certain autobiographical element to that book, I can tell you.
Well, Graham Bass, I wanted to thank you very much for taking this time out to talk to us about your work here on Afternoon Magazine.
It's a pleasure. Thank you very much, Jim.
Thank you.